turned out wrong. I took a wrong turn, and it turned out right. It don't matter which way you go, you know, as long as you're going with God.
Hello there.
Hi.
Welcome. Welcome to the program today.
It's so funny. We always are the ones who turn it on, and we always like surprise ourselves. Oh, it's turned on.
I just looked at him like, what are you doing? Got to turn it on in order for it to work.
Yeah, and when you do, we got to know we did.
I guess.
So it's season 3, episode 2.
Wow. Whew. That's kind of cool. We think it is anyhow. I don't know if you do. But we do want to welcome you to today's program. And we will be doing a little opener that we're doing right now. We're going to do 3 songs today. And we're going to discuss scripture. And who knows what else might fall in there.
You never know. I mean, anything could happen.
Anything.
Anything at all. You know, here we are on I Took a Right Turn.
Uh-huh.
That's the name of it. Yeah, I took a right turn. We're glad you're here. You must know because you tuned in.
And if that's not where you think you are, well, that's where you are.
Yeah, you're caught now, so that's all there is to it. So we're going to go into some songs. This first one is an old oldie, and it's called My Sins Are Gone At Last.
Thank you.
watches over me day and night. I go to him in prayer. He knows my every hair. You see, just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Sins lift up off of us, and we know what it's like to be free in Christ. It's just like if you had chains or balls of chains holding you down, and all of a sudden they're off and you're just able to fly.
Yes, and you know, it isn't just that initial
sins
being gone. We have to confess our sins on a regular basis.
Amen. Amen.
So we can be free.
Amen.
To fly.
Wait a minute, hold it here. We got off to some kind of what is going on here. See if we can get this going again now. Remember who you're listening to, and here we go. Once, like the bird in prison, start with the chorus. Okay, we'll start with the chorus. Maybe that'll get us going on.
Ooh-wee, okay.
He set me free, yes, he set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. Now I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. Oh, glory to God, he said. I fell, but Jesus came and he listened to me, and glory to God, he set me free. Well, he set me free, yes, he set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. Now, glory bound, my Jesus to see. Oh, glory to God, he set. Now I'm climbing higher each day. Darkness of night has drifted away. My feet are planted on higher ground. Glory to God, I'm homebound. See, he set me free, yes, he set me free. He broke the bonds of prison. Sin and things that confound. Nothing in this world can turn me around. Daily I'm praying, I'm working too, and glory to God, I'm gonna make it through. Well, he set me free, yeah. is, he set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. Now I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. Oh, glory to God, he set me. Now see what a little persistence will do. If you just keep going, keep trying, eventually you'll get it. And I love that chorus so much. I mean, he set me free. He set me free. Broke the bonds of prison for me. Now I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. Oh, glory to God, he set me free. Oh, I hope you're having a good time.
Oh, golly sakes, I didn't think we were
going to
get through that verse.
I know. But you know, it's amazing, see, now you guys out there listening in podcast land, when we're performing live out there, when we're not performing, when we're ministering live, and we're in churches and ministries and stuff, we do the same kind of stuff. You know, if we get going the wrong way or sideways with something, we just, wait a minute, let's try this another direction here, and here we go. Now we're going to get to that homegrown song that you're probably just drooling and waiting for. Come on, people, we can follow Jesus. He will lead us where we need to be. I said, come on, people, we can follow Jesus. Walking in faith and living in Jesus. He will lead us where we need to be. I said, come on, people, we can follow Jesus, living in faith and living in liberty. It don't matter who I used to be. Christ touched my life and the blind can see. He died on the cross just to set me free. And now his Holy Spirit lives in me. So I say, come on, people, we can follow Jesus. He will lead is where we need to be. I said, come on, people, we can follow Jesus, walking in faith and living in liberty.
Okay, that was a lot of fun. I really like that one. We can follow Jesus.
We can follow Jesus.
Amen. He set us free. We're free from sin, and he's waiting for us to just walk with him.
Amen. And we're going to follow him right into the scripture right now. We're going to go to Romans chapter 6. Now, the last episode, we read Romans 6, 1 through 14, and talking about, which I believe is the greatest encapsulation of the gospel anywhere in scripture, really. It's just so perfectly laid out. Jesus came from heaven. He was incarnated. He died for us. He rose for us. And if we live our life in him, die to sin in him, we will be raised to life in him too. And I want to pick up from there, and I want to look at verses 15 through 18 right now in Romans chapter 6, which says, So since we're out from under the old tyranny, that does that mean we can live any old way we want? Since we're free in the freedom of God, can we do anything that comes to mind? Hardly. You know well enough from your own experience that there are some acts of so-called freedom that destroy freedom. Offer yourselves to sin, for instance, and it's your last free act. But offer yourselves to the ways of God, and the freedom never quits. All your lives, you've let sin tell you what to do. But thank God, you've started listening to a new master, one whose commands set you free to live openly in his freedom. You know, and when they're saying, you know, think about, you know, you give your life, give yourself up to sin, how it cancels out freedom. Think of things like, you know, addictions. You know, you start out, well, oh, I want to do this. I want to drink. I want to do alcohol. I want to gamble. I want to be involved in all kind of sex and everything. Whatever your addiction is, you start out, oh, this is what I want to do. And you end up, this is what you got to do. Mm-hmm. And you got to start doing more and more and more. It always takes more to get off, more to get high, more to get whatever you're looking for. And so it's taken away your freedom. Or, and then people say, well, I'm not no kind of addict. Well, do you lie? You know, do you steal? Do you eat too much? You know, what do you, what is yours? What's the thing that controls you?
Gluttony.
Yeah, I've battled gluttony all my life. You know, people, I've lost a lot of weight. People, well, how'd you lose any weight? When I, they're waiting for me to say, well, I got on the XYZ diet and I just eat banana peels and that's all I do. You know, but when I tell them, well, God delivered me from the sin of gluttony, all of a sudden they go, well, hey, man, did you see them baseball games today? You know, the conversation's over. They don't want to go into that.
No,
you know,
because it's talking about sin.
Right. Mm-hmm. And people, you know, a lot of times people don't want to talk about sin because it makes them think about their own sin. You know, it's a lot of times people will accuse other people of sins. Usually they're accusing them of the sins they commit themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, but what we're talking about here is God giving us freedom. And we can be free. If you have addictions, you can be free from them. If you have, you know, sins that plague you, you just try to quit, and you can't. God can save you and set you free. You know, and that's the truth. That's the truth of the whole thing. God has set us free.
Yes, and it says in Scripture, but now that you've found, you don't have to listen to sin tell you what to do.
Amen.
And have discovered the delight of listening to God telling you. What a surprise.
Oh, man.
A whole healed, put together life right now with more and more of life on the way.
And I tell you, I don't know about you, but it was a surprise to me. I had no idea that you could know such freedom and such joy and happiness. I had no idea. You know, when I, you know, I got saved at the edge of desperation. I was hanging on by my fingernails. You know, I just was totally desperate. Life was meaningless to me. I was an atheist. I was a drug addict, alcoholic, all this kind of stuff. And life was meaningless, absolutely meaningless.
So you had nowhere to turn when you had nowhere to turn.
That's how I felt. You know, I was so stupid. I was so crazy. You know, it's like, well, I got to try something, you know. So I'll try a different brand of whiskey. I'll try a different kind of marijuana. I'll try a different, you know, different drugs, different all the different things. And none of them made it any better. It just made it worse, mm-hmm. You know. And then when I gave my life to Jesus, which I came to Jesus through reading the Scriptures, but when I gave my life to Jesus, all that weight just lifted off. You know,
isn't that wonderful?
Oh, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. It was a surprise. And everybody out there listening, whatever it is, I mean, you know, we all have something that trips us up. You know what yours is, I don't. And I don't need to talk to you about what trips you up, because you know what trips you up. Take it to Jesus. Lay it at the foot of the cross. It's already been nailed to the cross. He's already died to free you from it. You're holding on to it. That's what I was doing. I was holding on to all those all those sins and addictions and problems and thoughts that I had.
But it's hard to set them down and leave them down.
It is.
It really is. It's really difficult.
It is. It is.
But you need to pick up something in return.
Well,
instead of the sin, pick up the love of Jesus.
That's why I believe God says, reckon yourself dead unto sin, but alive unto Christ. You know, because we have to reckon ourselves. In other words, we have to say, I'm putting it down.
And leaving it down.
Leaving
it
down.
I have to put it down constantly. I mean, even so when the urge comes back on me to overeat, I have to put it down right then.
Right.
It's not just a part of my daily prayer. It's right then.
I know my problem was with gluttony and food was always second helpings and eating when I wasn't hungry. And so I've made it like a mantra in my head. When I'm walking around and there's times I think, boy, I'd sure like to have a bowl of this or some of that, you know. I say to myself, you're not hungry, don't eat.
Unfortunately, we don't have much food we keep in the house. We don't keep snacks around, so that's
pretty good. The problem with having food in the house is we eat it.
Exactly.
that's a big problem there, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
But at the same time, you know, we are stocked up. You know, we're not preppers. We're prepared. You know, we have lots of food. You know, but it's not snacky food.
No, that's what I was getting at. It's not snacky.
Staple food. You know. But
well,
as
we do have some popcorn, but don't tell
anybody.
Don't let Robert know. We have some popcorn.
Yeah, well, but God has freed us up. He's freed us up to be crazy. I mean, that's what's so fun is that He has saved us. He's taken away these sins and led us to a life that's just beautiful and filled with Him. And yet we can still be as nutty and crazy as we are, as you know, you can tell from listening to us. You know, we don't call it gibberish for nothing. You know, we tell people when we're out playing, we tell them, you know, we are the not quite ready players here, you know.
Time.
Yeah, we're just goofing around, you know.
But we're praising the Lord.
We are praising the Lord, and that's what this whole thing is about. As I said last episode, the entire meaning or thrust of this entire podcast is to share Jesus, Him crucified.
Amen.
And just hold up scripture and just let everyone know you can have the joy of the Lord and be happy in the world too.
Yes.
Amen.
Isn't that nice?
I mean, you don't have to walk around looking like you sucked down a lemon just because you're a Christian. Well, I'm pious now. It's like I used to always think, well, you know, if you're going to become a Christian or something, you got to walk around, you know, your hands folded all the time.
Yes. I remember my mom saying to me that I needed to go to church. And my response to her was, but Mom, I like to have fun.
Yeah.
That was before I realized church is fun. Church can very well be fun.
I can remember my mother saying to me, why don't you go out and find yourself a good girl? And I remember me saying, what am I going to do with a good girl?
Robert.
But I did. But now, I'm married to a good girl. Rosalie is the best.
Ooh,
in the
boy,
whole
you
world.
Pulled that right out.
Well, it's the truth. It's the truth. You know, and God will give us the desires of our heart, and the secret to that is, you know, well, I got this desire, I got that desire.
No.
The Bible tells us our desires are what pull us away and cause sin in our life.
Mm-hmm,
but when it says in the Bible, God will give us the desires of our heart, what it means is if we will give ourselves to Him, He'll put the desires in our heart. Then they're His desires.
Yes.
And His will be done.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, I think we've told you many times how you can reach us and how to get the rest of the books.
Oh, yeah.
But I guess we need to throw it in again. It's kind of like part of every episode.
Yeah.
So you can go get the book that you just heard Robert read.
I didn't read yet. I'm going to do it in the future here. She's talking to us from the future. I haven't read it yet to you, but the sequential stuff. Who knows? This happened before that happened. When happened after what?
Okay. Anyhow, well, anyway, what he's going to read from.
Yeah.
You can go to Amazon.com.
Yes.
And
faith, and then the secret code, Dr. Robert Owens, so that it'll pull it up. And all my books are there. You can get any of them. And then also, if you want to get in touch with us, go to www.itookarightturn.com. Click on contact. There's a form you can fill out. Suggestions, criticism, comments, anything. Just hi, how you doing? Whatever. We'd love to hear from you.
Yes, we will get back to you. That's www. Never mind.
Well, dot. I think they know.
Okay.
I think there's anybody who's listening to a podcast on a device that doesn't know how to put in an address. Well, I learned not long ago, you don't have to put in the www dot anymore.
Well,
I took a right turn and bang, pulled it
down. Oh, okay. That works for me for some things, but for some things it doesn't.
Well, tell it to work for everything.
Yes, I will.
Okay, so now we're going to go and we're going to read you one of the essays out of the book Faith, which, as I've told you before, is part of a 3-book series, Faith, Hope, and Love. Thanks for joining us today, and here comes the reading. A soap opera that never ends will finally end. Then what? All my life I've been in love with history. I learned at an early age that if you love reading, you can live 1,000 lifetimes. And if you're wise, you have the opportunity to learn from the mistakes of others. I've certainly experienced the former, while unfortunately not doing much of the latter. My love of history metastasized into a love of political science. These two intellectual loves of my life have given me countless hours of joy, lost in reading, mired in thinking, and entertained by speculation. Now, as I enter what are called the golden years, though I believe they may be made of brass, having spent several decades teaching both subjects, I feel a need to share some insights, not on particulars, but instead on something that is usually disparaged and often dismissed, generality. Though most have never heard of him, many can misquote the writer and philosopher George Santa Anna, who is reported to have said, "Those who do not learn history are doomed to repeat it." What he actually said was, "Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it." There is a subtle difference there, for learning and remembering are two different things. This sounds so wise. It even appears self-evident. And apparently, at least to my observation, it's an oxymoron. After a daily study of history for 60 years, the only lesson I've learned is that humanity never learns the lessons of history. In my classes, I tell my students that history is nothing more than the stories of people just like us who lived at different times in what were essentially different worlds. They had the same bodies and minds that we do. They felt the same emotions. They lived, they died, and now it's our turn. I also tell them that if we don't learn anything from history that helps us in our everyday life, we might as well read fiction. I know that most people study history because they have to. I know most people find it boring as an exercise in memorizing dates, names, and facts to be later regurgitated on a test and forgotten. I can well understand the boring part. There are so few who can see through to the stories making history so exciting. So few can lose themselves in the narrative. Imagine themselves on the deck of that ship, in the palace with the king, or in the hut with that peasant. They only see dates and names and facts. Boring. And political science? Who cares about that? I tell my students who don't care about it at all that it's the science who gets what, and if they don't care about it, someone else will, and then they'll get to make the decisions. So what do you want? You decide. Now, after decades spent following politics through the lens of history, attempting to share with others the insights I've gained, I must tell you all that it's essentially the equivalent of an ant studying a castle made of sand. He spends his life telling other ants how wondrous the castle is, how imposing its turrets are, how deep its moat, and how formidable its defenses. Then the waves come in, the castle is gone, and the ants have disappeared. I recently taught a class on American history from 1877 until the present to a class full of millennials. We used a textbook that was more than 1,000 pages long. It wasn't until the last few pages that we reached anything the students could remember as having happened since they became aware of the world around them. That last 20 minutes of the semester really had an impact. To most people, history begins the day they're born. For all of us, it ends the day we die. And political science ends up being the science of rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. In the 4.5 billion years since this planet came into existence, in the 15 billion years since the Big Bang, the history of humanity doesn't even take up the last few pages. It would fill perhaps part of a sentence, a few words such as, "All things will pass, only those things done in Christ will last." That's it. The sum total of all I have learned, all I have discovered, and all I will ever know. If you know Christ, N-O, with no Christ, there's no peace. If you know Christ, K-N-O, if you know Christ, then you know peace. For those who seek to gain their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for Christ will find it. He is the truth, the light, and the life. And without him, there is no truth or light or life. Stop fighting a war that's already been won. Stop spinning your wheels, running in a race that goes in a circle. Step out of the darkness and into the light, and let this be the first day of the rest of your life. The stories of those who have gone before teach us nothing if they don't lead us to Christ. The politics of this world are an endless loop, a tempest in a teacup, a soap opera that never ends. It may be engaging to watch like a slow-motion train wreck. It may be exciting, exhilarating, even entertaining. But most of us, in 100 years, no one will know we were here. In 1,000 years, no one will remember the compelling arguments of today, the all-important bitter debates about whether we place the deck chair here or the deck chair there. Yet in an eternity from now, heaven will know whether or not we acknowledged Christ as our Savior. For if we confess with our lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that reading, and there'll be more to come. As you well know, this is a little bit different this season. It's not that exciting thing going on from reading the other book, but it is. This book is full of examples and strength and what you need to do and all that sort of stuff. So anyway, thank you, Robert, again, for doing that reading. And now we're going to do something.
We're going to tell them about the Paradox Shop. Just go to the Paradox Shop.
Oh, I didn't think about that. Yes,
you know,
okay.
It's all one word, the Paradox Shop. And that's where we sell our paintings. And you can see them all and just enjoy them to look at them. You don't have to buy, but just, you can go there and look
but
at them.
But you could buy.
Yeah, you could. I mean, we would let you.
You know. Not gonna stop you.
No. But once again, go to our website, itookarightturn.com, and send us a message. We'd love to hear from you.
We'd love it. We really would love to hear that what you think of the SHIP program and what you would like and what you wouldn't like. So.
Yes. So have a great day, and thanks for tuning in again.
Yes. Be safe out there.
Bye-bye.